Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hey, this is Paco Romain.
And this is George Chen.
And you're listening to SupDoc, a hilarious show where we talk about documentaries with amazing guests sometimes, but now just George and I.
Yeah, the amazing hosts. Your amazing hosts of SupDoc. And today we're going to be looking at the classic Werner Herzog documentary, Grizzly Man, pieced together from Timothy Treadwell's actual video footage. Herzog's remarkable examination of the calling that drove Treadwell to live among a pack of wild grizzly bears in Alaska, and it's great.
It is certainly amazing. A devoted conservationist with a passion for adventure, Treadwell believed he had bridged the gap between human and beast. When one of the bears he loved tragically turns on him, the footage he shot serves as a window into our understanding of nature.
Narrated and directed as only Werner Herzog can do, Grizzly Man is a perfect blend of funny, personal, and harrowing. With a 95% score on Rotten Tomatoes, Grizzly Man is a classic of the genre, and it's a documentary about devotion, nature, and its grim realities.
For 13 years, Timothy Treadwell lived among the grizzly bears in the Alaskan wilderness. During that time, he shot over 100 hours of videotape. Until 2003, when he was killed by one of the bears he had sworn to protect.
Well, I'm here with one of my favorite bears. It's Mr. Chocolate. Hey, Mr. Chocolate. He's been with me for over a decade, and he's been my good friend. Oh, he's a big bear. He's a big bear. A very big bear. Wow.
He tended to want to become a bear.
Most times, I'm a kind warrior out here. Occasionally, I am challenged. And in that case, the kind warrior must become a samurai.
I am so happy that we are finally recapping Grizzly Man, one of my all-time favorite docs.
And we haven't done enough Herzog.
Never.
We've done maybe two other Herzogs, and we've been at the show for 5 years. So this was an oversight that we are now getting a corrective. We are now doing
that's right.
This. And
for those people who are just first listening to SupDoc, We've been doing this since May of 2015, and we cover lots of great docs. But this is the kind of a new format for George and I, where we kind of have gone without a guest, and we're trying to like get to these classic docs that we haven't had time really to cover. So that's what we're up to right now. And Grizzly Man, I mean, it's another doc that I saw at the theater, and I remember leaving kind of trembling a bit, like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, I definitely watched it at someone's house and had heard a little bit about it. And I really wish I could remember whose house it was. I know it was in San Francisco. And I remember there was a big preamble of like, oh, you don't know what this is about. You better sit down. We're going to watch it together. And it was a group viewing is all I remember. And I was just like mouth agape half the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's so compelling and sad and funny and it's just there's so much to it. And could any other director have made this, in your opinion?
The Duplass brothers.
Besides the Duplass brothers.
It would have been 7 hours long, though, if the Duplass brothers had made it.
I mean, I can't think of a better director to have tackled this Grizzly Man than Herzog. I mean, it's like perfect.
I actually don't know the story. Like, did he reach out to them, or did they be like, hey, we need someone to handle all this footage. Let's find Herzog.
So okay. Jewel Palovac.
Jewel Palovac, yeah.
She's the one who reached out to Herzog.
Wow. Then we all owe her a lot right now. She's been through the ringer. This woman's been through the ringer.
Apparently, it was her thought that was like the only person I know who could do this justice, because Timothy Treadwell, before he died, said, "I have all this footage, and if something is to happen to me, this needs to be made into a movie."
Yeah.
And of course, something happened to him, and she had all these videotapes. Everyone apparently helped store these videotapes in their homes, and she, I believe, got a hold of Werner Herzog.
I can think of the wrong person to direct this, which would be Les Blank. I think it would be a very weird take on this. I think that would be the wrong take. It feels like I'm throwing shade at Les Blank. I'm just like, we just watch all these joyous, you know, food themed things where like a lot of animals were being torn apart, and like this would not be the one.
Be the one. No. This is a perfect subject matter for Werner Herzog because of his outlook on life, and like even his German accent somehow is like a beautiful icing in this cake of a documentary.
I feel like this was a lot of people's first introduction to Werner Herzog. Mm-hmm. I think this, because this is like, this was like a cultural phenomenon when this came out, right?
Yeah.
Because you heard the trailer, but like, so you get the idea. Like, this is a guy who went and lived with grizzly bears in Alaska for like 13 summers, and guess how he died? That's, it's
pretty much the only way you're going to end your
Chekhov's bear. That's what they refer to it as, right? Chekhov's grizzly bear. But his girlfriend at the time. Yeah. So it's very tragic. But yeah.
Treadwell had been on Letterman. He had done talk shows. He had done TV shows. He was on Dateline because you have Keith Morrison being like, "I can't believe you lived with bears."
Oh, I was wondering if that was the guy from Tiger King for a second, like that journal, Rick Steves or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Keith Morrison, who I love because I love his voice. Timothy Treadwell had been kind of a minor celebrity already because of his stuff with grizzlies. The other thing I found doing research is that he wrote a book.
Yeah, I did not know that either.
Among Grizzlies was the name of it. And so he was kind of already on the map, you know, a little bit of like celebrity map, if there was one.
I'm surprised they don't show the Letterman clip. Maybe they didn't get the right.
They did show the
Letterman clip. Okay.
They in the original release, they showed the Letterman clip. And Letterman says, "You're going to get eaten by bears."
In the version I just watched. I did not. Maybe the original version I watched did have that clip in it.
The original version did. The DVD release did not. They took it out. And then subsequent theatrical releases did not have it either.
So do you remember any other differences in the cuts between the theatrical and the DVD release?
I don't, but when I saw this in the theater, it had Letterman in it. And the reason I looked it up is because I just watched it 3 hours ago. And I was like, where's the Letterman part? Because he talks about being on Letterman.
Right.
And then right after that is where you see the Letterman footage. And it wasn't in there. And I looked it up. And in the Wikipedia, it says that it's been edited out.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah. That's bonkers.
I know.
So you have to go to the TV and film archive to watch old Letterman's.
Or if you can find an original print or something of Grizzly Man.
Yeah, a print. You know, yeah.
They would, and then, you know, Paul Schaefer's like, yeah.
You're going to get eaten. It's going to happen. You're going to die.
Hey, let's play something by the bears. Yeah. So I just love this.
How often do you watch this? How often?
I used to watch it like at least once a year. This was definitely on high rotation. And there was a time I was going to the Castro Theater to see docs like once a week or something. I saw Genghis Blues there. Have you ever seen Genghis Blues?
Yeah, I've not. I know I'm supposed to, but yeah, I've not.
Oh my God. That documentary is so heart-wrenching and so beautiful. That was the first doc I ever saw at the Castro Theater. But I owned a copy of Grizzly Man for years on VHS tape. And
I guess it came out in 2005. I guess that would be one of the last commercially produced VHS tapes.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, I had it on VHS tape. But so let me, I really want to explore this. Why, George, is this doc so compelling? What is it that makes it so compelling?
I was thinking about this too. I think the hook of it is a guy who had like this footage no one had ever had of like because he experienced something that no one, no sane, rational person would ever do, which is just go and live with grizzly bears. Like it's a bonkers premise, and then I was thinking about this watching this. I feel like now if you said a guy filmed himself for several hundred hours just talking about whatever, I'd be like, okay, that's everyone. But right. He was a little early on it. And then he is like, I remember thinking, it's been a long time since I watched it, just watching it recently. And I remember feeling a lot more judgment about like, what an idiot, what a maroon, what a like kind of like a, what do they call them? Darwin Awards.
Right.
You know, where people always like die doing something stupid. And I was just like, that's kind of how I had this whole thing framed in my memory of it, my recollection of it.
Fascinating.
And watching again now, I definitely feel much more, I mean, a troubled person, maybe just because I've experienced more actual like loss of like, you know, people, and just death is more like real to me in a way it was than when I saw this.
That's real.
Like my understanding before it was a little bit more of just like the shock and the weirdness of it. And the weirdness of this German, like voice of God, like right. over the whole thing. And now I definitely more, I'm like, yeah, you know what? If I missed out getting Woody from Cheers, I might want to go live in the forest too. Like I've been in LA long enough to understand that. I think like living in LA will make you want to go live in the forest.
Yeah. That would be number two. To have almost gotten the Woody part. Apparently he tested with the other actors, which means he got through many callbacks and everything. Once you start testing, that's like, there's only two more hoops basically.
I do also think that like, if the scenario was, hey, Woody Harrelson went and lived with grizzly bears in the woods for 15 years and then died. Like, yeah, that checks out. That sounds like what would happen to Woody Harrelson.
That completely sounds
him and McConaughey are out there. Time is a flat circle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get older, but the grizzly bears still stay the same meanness.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like there's a part of most humans that would love to just live in the wilderness and befriend a bunch of wild animals and kind of do what they feel like they want to do with their lives. You know, like it has the kind of a very Western feel to it. You know, it's like a John Updike novel or a Steinbeck feel to it. It's like this guy, like he was a heroin junkie. He was an alcoholic. He obviously lived in California and was auditioning, or maybe New York City and was auditioning a bunch, and basically saved his life, his own life, by going to the crazy wild woods of Alaska and to live with not just brown bear, not just black bear, but fucking grizzlies.
Yeah. You said, who's the novelist you said? This seemed like
Steinbeck.
Steinbeck novel. Yeah, I like A Call of the Wild or something. I was thinking of Paul Auster, if you know that.
Of course.
It felt like a Paul Auster novel to me.
Yeah.
Just like fucking brutal.
Expedition 2001 coming to an end for grizzly people, for me, Timothy Treadwell. I came here and protected the animals as best I could. In fact, I'm the only protection for these animals out here. The government flying over a grand total of 2 times in 2 months. How dare they? How dare they challenge me? How dare they smear me in their campaigns? How dare they? When they do not look after these animals, and I come here in peace and in love, neutral, in respect. I will continue to do this. I will fight them. I will be an American dissident if I need be. There's a patriotic time going on right now, but as far as this fucking government's concerned, fuck you, motherfucking Park Service.
Now Treadwell crosses a line with the Park Service, which we will not cross. He attacks the individuals with whom he worked for 13 years.
I beat your fucking asses. I protected the animals. I did it. Fuck you. Animals rule. Timothy conquered. Fuck you, Park Service.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Bite clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I think this was my first Herzog movie, too. You'd already seen a bunch of Herzog probably at this point, right?
Since you watched so many docs. I had seen a couple. I mean, I had seen My Best Fiend.
Oh, you had before this? Okay.
Yeah. And he references this.
Yeah, right. I've seen someone go crazy in the woods on a camera before.
Where the actor becomes the director and, you know, like, or the director becomes the actor. Like, yeah, it's pretty insane. And you can see it. Like, obviously, you know, Timothy's starting to kind of lose his grasp, I think, on some levels of reality throughout this. And there's also a hint of Hollywood fakeness where he's like, I'm all alone. It's crazy to be alone. I'm just out here alone, except for the girlfriends I drag out with me.
Right. Yeah. You know? Which also, like, the fact that there's a reference to, like, he was getting girls, like, flown in. I'm like, what? Like, who, firstly, before Tinder, also Alaskan Tinder, how wide do you have to set your settings in Alaskan Tinder? Who is going on a date to the woods?
I don't know.
There's a reference. He's like, there are several women who shall go unnamed. I'm like, he was getting booty calls.
He was getting fly-in booty calls into the tundra. And by my man, Sam Elliott there, the pilot. I love that
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that dude, yeah.
That guy is a straight shooter. Have you ever seen one? Willie Fulton. He's the guy that would fly. For those people who have not seen Grizzly Man, which is insane. Matter of fact, I would say just pause this, watch it, come back.
Yeah, pause it for sure. Literally pause. I'm sorry.
Oh, I can't bear that.
Man,
we're not even dads.
We're like the infertile dad joke.
What's an incel? Let's see. Anyway,
what's an incel? Podcast. All right.
The equivalent.
Oh, for in. Yeah, yeah.
But you can see this on Amazon for free if you have Amazon Prime, and I highly, highly recommend that you do. I also thought it was interesting that Werner Herzog was like, he's an excellent movie maker. He would sometimes do 10 to 15 takes, you know, and it's like pretty nuts to watch him like do a take. And then he's like, yeah, my hair. Now I'm going to do a wild take where I'm just going to kind of be mad. You know,
yeah, I mean, the footage is actually great footage. And even though, like, a lot of it's shaky and handheld, it's like, yeah, he was out there mostly by himself. Like, when you see handheld footage that's not him, that's like just a giveaway. That's like, oh, that's probably Amy Hugenhout. But he actually captures some footage like no person would ever have. And that's like.
Right.
Yeah. I do feel like he is putting on a show half the time, but he's always like, let's do that take again. That was too angry. That was too real. That was too whatever. But his self-awareness is sort of all over the place in this thing. He has some self-awareness, and then he has some like just like total paranoia. It's unclear to me. Herzog sort of lays this out a little bit. Do you think that bears were actually being in danger of being poached? Like, it seemed like it was a very rare occurrence that there would be actual any poaching of bears.
I think there is a protected wildlife area in Alaska, and then there's like this area that isn't so protected by rangers. Mm-hmm. And places like that that poachers definitely go to, of course. Apparently some jackass cut off a bear's paw in a museum.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, people are assholes. They'll go shoot a bear for its whatever. But I don't think it was as bad as... I think what you do is you create a trumped-up problem in order to justify your existence in that area, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what he was doing. I mean, after 13 summers, you got to come up with some pretty compelling reasons to keep going back.
Yeah.
Here's what I differ. This is how I differ from Werner's kind of motif from this, is that every time you watch this, they basically say Timothy Treadwell wanted to be a bear. He would growl. He would hiss. When strangers would come up, he'd go, you know, he'd blow like, but bear. You know, I watched this now for like the 18th time, and I think it's reverse. I think he wanted them to be human. I don't think he wanted to be a bear. I think he wanted them to be human, and he was giving them nicknames, and he was treating them like he was all sassy to them, like they can understand English, you know? So I think what he wanted was to incorporate and give them human, anthropomorphize them enough that it was, they were his friend circle, you know?
Right. He had a lot of issues with the human world. He obviously talks a lot about having like romantic problems. And just, yeah, like basically he added personas to these bears where Herzog saw none, right? Like I think he genuinely bonds with the foxes, and I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could have a pet either. Fox. And I'm just like, fucking, this is what I said the first time I watched this. I'm like, he should have just stuck to the foxes, honestly. Like, he would still be alive. He's just like, I'm going to focus on preserving these foxes and hanging with these foxes. Bears, they're over there. They're scary, whatever, but we got to save these foxes. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you were trying to do too much. If you just focused on the fox, then you wouldn't have stayed that long.
Right.
Yeah, I think he does blur. I mean, they talk about blurring the boundary between man and animal. And I guess this is, I kept thinking about Tiger King when I was watching this also. Like, it's a similar kind of like, I have problems with people. Right. I'm going to project all my problems onto something that can't talk back, right?
Yes.
That is dangerous, and like use it to like glorify myself. So in a weird way, it is a weird companion piece to Tiger King. I mean, obviously he was not like, you know, as much of a sociopath, but it's not is it sociopathy what he's doing, or is it just like he... Is it a mental illness? What? And it's not a mental illness. He's just like, he just has problems with people.
I think he just feels much better in the wilderness. And he basically adopted these wild animals to soothe himself and created kind of problems where there necessarily aren't problems in order to justify his needing to be out there. But what he was doing was also educational, because he would do that stuff for free. He'd go to schools for free and talk to kids and stuff. So that was pretty cool. I did read, doing some extra research on this, that there was a lot of people that were kind of like, hey, you're conditioning these bears to be cool around people, which means it's gonna be a lot easier for poachers to approach them.
I hadn't thought about that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, you know, one of the reasons he's up there is to protect them, and he's not, because they're getting used to human smells and food and everything else, you know?
Yeah, habituating, yeah. It does seem like, ultimately, like, everyone's like, well, he had good intentions, but did he ultimately cause more harm than good? I mean, the fact that, like, two bears, or, like, one bear at least, was killed because of, you know, doing what it was going to do.
Right. You know? Well, he certainly harmed Amy, I would say, his girl that was with him when they died, you know, which leads us to the tape, which is like the whole like crux. I mean, that, you know, the famous tape, which, you know, there are, apparently you can hear this tape on YouTube, but it's all fake. Okay, you know, there's like releases of the famous Grizzly Man tape. But they're all fake.
Have you listened to one of them?
I've never. I actually tried. I was like, oh, this will be interesting, because I was like, well, maybe it got released. But so Werner Herzog in the documentary listens to the tape, which is the tape that was it was recording, his videotape was recording, but the lens cap was on while he and Amy were getting eaten by this grizzly bear.
Yeah.
So there's no video, it's all audio. It's apparently like 10 minutes long, yeah. And it's horrific.
Yeah.
And you can hear Amy hitting the bear over the head with a pan, saying like, get off of him. And then to his credit, Timothy's saying like, go, run away. Like,
where stop. Though? Where could she run?
I know.
Like, that's the thing that's insane. Thing. Like, where would she run to that a bear could not get to her?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Cause that bear, they own that entire land. That's their thing. That's their territory. I don't know. But she unfortunately gets eaten as well. And yeah. Then there's a scene where Jewel is letting Werner Herzog listen to the tape for the first time and his hands just start to shake, you know? And he's just like, do me a favor. Never listen to this and get rid of it now. Like,
oh, that scene is so intense because there's a point where she starts like seeing how he's reacting and we don't see how he reacts. And we're seeing how she's reacting to his reactions. And it's like, oh my God, it's like a bank shot of horror.
Bingo.
Yeah. So insane.
Which is, I mean, not to start talk technical filmmaking, but that's like, if this was me making this, I would have had the camera on me because I'm the one listening to the tape. It's so perfect that the camera's not on Werner Herzog, but on her mm-hmm. because of that. That reaction of her to his reaction is amazing.
Yeah.
So I was reading that Werner later on was like, that's the dumbest advice I've ever given anyone. I feel so bad that I actually told her to do that.
To like burn it and get rid of it?
He was like, in the heat of the moment, it was so horrific to listen to this. That I told her to just get rid of it because he's like, I don't see how it could do anyone any good. But he's like, I kind of feel like it was kind of dumb advice now.
Oh,
so as it turns out, she didn't listen to him and she did save it. And it's been in a bank vault since.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. She put it in like a bank vault or something.
Yeah. Will that always be too soon? The mauling sound? I can't. Who's going to want to listen to that? I feel like there's someone who wants to. Someone who wants to watch like the Luca Magnotta video wants to hear that. That's right. My theory.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of people that would listen to it and I would not. I'm too squeamish for any of that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty, pretty interesting.
Who's your favorite talking head in this thing? Because there's a bunch of really interesting talking heads.
Question.
I'm going to say I feel like this would not be the same documentary without the coroner, Frank Falico, the coroner, who just stares uncomfortably into the camera every time he has a monologue. And like the film does this weird thing where like he knows he's supposed to do a line and then you see him sort of like his hands start to drop and then like the performance is kind of over, but that whole transition is captured. I'm just like, what? Only like that is a brilliant like reveal, but also like what a bizarre weirdo. What a true weirdo. If you thought an Alaskan coroner could get any weirder.
Northern Exposure.
Yeah,
it's one of those things too where people don't really know what to do. And you can almost tell that like, I think Herzog probably tell them like, when I ask you a question, look at the camera when you direct your answer. You know, because they would, you could see them looking at him and then they'd be like, oh, what happened to the tit? You know,
right.
Kind of weird.
The weirdest one is when Frank hands the watch to Jewel, because that's the first time we're introduced to either of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like so set up and awkward. But well, then she has a genuine reaction at the end of this, like, this is all that's left of him. Like the way that the coroner presents the watch is just so uncomfortable.
Well, for those people who have not seen the documentary, we find out that Timothy's entire right arm is found with his watch on it. And then they capture the watch. They get the watch back and it's been sealed as evidence for years. And the coroner is able to give it back to Jewel in this really weird scene. It's a pretty powerful scene because the watch is still ticking. It's still working.
Yeah, to be fair, I have no idea what a better way to present your ex's wristwatch after he was mauled by bear would be. But the way that he chose to do it was not the correct way to do it.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
That's for sure. My favorite talking head in this is the pilot. I like the pilot a lot. Oh,
yeah. That's your homie. Yeah.
That's my homie. I enjoy that dude. And there's a lot of bugs in this doc as well.
Oh, my gosh.
The Alaska tundra. So I was like waving my face watching this doc because I was like, oh, jeez, that buzzing sound is just like too much.
Paca, handle. Do you know any Alaskans? Do you know any people that have lived in Alaska?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I do. And I have a friend who just got there yesterday. He's going to do some salmon fishing.
Yeah, people usually, people are usually there just for the summer and then everyone like bails for the winter
right.
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A few friends have done that.
Everyone's got a bear story though, right? Not everyone. If you're in the big cities, probably not, but a lot of people have.
Maybe
bear
not.
Stories.
But I did what Timothy did in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So basically, Timothy, I think after 13 summers, he took a huge risk. He was in the Alaskan tundra wilderness into October. He usually left by August, but he stayed until October, which meant he was in hibernation time. And bears that are not yet hibernating are hungry as fuck, and they're looking to fatten up. He also camped next to water supply on three interlocking bear trails. Because you can see the map. So the corner, those people drew a map of the death scene, and it's like water supply, three bear trails, a pile of blueberries, a honey tree.
Like, yeah, like, a picnic basket. Yeah, exactly.
And a picnic basket.
Yeah.
And it was like all, and I actually did that when I was camping in the Upper Peninsula once. We were not smart enough to know that you shouldn't do that. We woke up to a like family of bears. But this is UP, so they're brown bears. They're not going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
But still, it's pretty fucking frightening to be like, oh my God, there's like three bears in our camping area.
Oh, man.
So don't camp next to fish water supply where there's bear trails, basically.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. So let's, we've named our rating system after this director. I'm going to give this 10 Herzogs. I don't know, because this is one of my favorite documentaries of all time. So I'm giving it 10 out of 10 Werner Herzogs.
I mean, yeah, I can't think of anything that he could have done differently. I think that, like I said, the funeral, the coroner could have done something differently. But I think Herzog did like an amazing job with like hundreds of hours of footage. He definitely made a better film than Timothy Treadwell would have made with the same footage. That's true. And the soundtrack, we didn't even talk about that. I looked at the
soundtrack's amazing.
Richard Thompson. Did you know that?
And then
this guy, and Jim O'Rourke also played on it. And then this guy who used to live in Oakland, the bass player, Damon Smith, also plays on it. Produced by Henry Kaiser. So I guess Henry Kaiser has worked with Herzog on stuff before. It makes sense. But
soundtrack's incredible.
Yeah, it really gives everything a different color than, like, I don't know, a synthesizer soundtrack would have done.
Right.
I feel like I give out too many tens. This is not my personality to give out a bunch of tens.
I know. It's not mine either.
Yeah. Like, I'm usually like a B-plus guy for most things that I like.
Yeah.
But I can't downgrade this below a 10.
Well, it's hard when we're picking out docs because they're amazing. So it's kind of like a moot point what we would score this as, but whatever.
Then why are we doing it?
I don't know. Why not?
Because we watch some stinkers. We watch a lot of stinker documentaries are like not good. And it's great. It is nice to get the variety now.
Also, I got to say, like, and I've said this before on the show, from 1990 basically to 2006 is my favorite time period of documentary filmmaking. Like, you don't get animation. You don't get lower third information every 3 seconds of who someone is, where we're at. Like, we just covered Roger and Me. There is no extra information in Roger and Me at all.
Yeah.
They're very kind of similar in a style in that they're narrated by the director.
Right.
But it's just, you're not overloaded with information. Nowadays, they just ram info into your fucking brain. And then it's just like sequences of animation and reenactments. And it's like, you don't need all that stuff.
I'm now like picturing both Herzog trying to interview Roger Smith, the CEO of General Motors, or Michael Moore being handed hundreds of hours of bear footage, like how different the results would be. I wanted to say that when you think about like this guy basically had an OD, Timothy Treadwell. He was doing heroin and cocaine. Oh, also, it turned out that Amy was a fan of his. she read his book, and that's how they ended up even being. So she was interested in the whole thing from the get-go, but she was not, you know, a big bear fan. Imagine it's 1990, Paco. You've just come out of an OD, and you're like, am I going to go to 12-step programs? That could be one thing I could do.
That's one thing.
Am I going to maybe move home or something like that? No, there's still a lot of work in Malibu at a theme restaurant, at an old-timey theme restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe I will start spending my summers in Bear Country without bringing a video camera. He didn't have a video camera till the last few years. That is also
crazy.
Like
the last like 3 or 4 years is when he actually videotaped everything.
So there's like a bunch of years where he's like, it'll just go in the book. We won't need photographs, audio recording videos. Maybe there's something, but
my feeling is that he was doing one of those like walkabouts with his life. And he was like, I'm going to go to Alaska. A lot of people go to Alaska to like, you know, Into Thin Air, that book, the Krakauer book, you know, it's like the same thing. And he probably ended up just someone being like, you know, there's like good hiking trails. And then he's like, there's grizzlies here. I love them. I grew up with a teddy bear. So I have a feeling it just kind of happens like that.
Yeah. Just of all the weird 90s moves, that's the rarest one. Like
that.
Move to Alaska.
Or Prague. A lot of people moved to Prague.
A lot of people did move to Prague. A lot of people.
Yeah, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. People went to Berlin after the fall of the wall, too. So
Berlin was a big one. Prague was a big one.
San Francisco. Some people came to San Francisco in the 90s.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Yeah. So we rated it. Yeah, we did the whole ratings. We're done with that.
Let's do a pitch a duck.
Yeah. You got one?
I do have one. I thought this was really fascinating. So there's a real Lord of the Flies situation that happened
I read that article. Yeah.
Off of Fiji, where these kids got marooned on an island for quite a long time, like a year. They didn't descend into madness, though. They had this highly structured government where they actually had like a cook and a court system and this like methodical organization. And after a year later, there's this boat that passed by that saw this like looked like a kid on a cliff, and he jumped into the water. And then they noticed like a bunch of other kids jumping, and they went and talked to them. And the kid was like, "Hello, mate. How are you doing?" And he had like perfect English, and they're just like, "What is happening?" And they told the story, and it was like, they had this like system of government that they had set up, and it's really fascinating.
Yeah, didn't the guy who had the ship end up like hiring a bunch of them to be crew on his ship later?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I would not want to get back on a boat after that experience. That would be the last place I want to go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. But I think that'd be a fascinating doc to just like dig deep into like what they were up to.
Totally. Yeah, I think so too. I was thinking that it's going to happen. It just depends who ends up doing it, how good it will be. But there is going to be an Elon Musk documentary at some point.
Right. Like there has to be.
Yeah. Like the Howard Hughes of our day, who also named his child, firstly married or didn't marry, is dating Grimes. And like that could be a documentary in and of itself. Just the courtship of Grimes and Elon Musk. And then they have a baby that they named like AEX12YG or something like that. Like a car name.
Horrible.
And like every time I see, I've never watched an entire one of those interviews that he does with Joe Rogan, but he's done at least twice. And like, I don't even know that he's basically like such a powerful figure that any documentary about him would be insightful. Whether it turns out he is like the biggest supervillain of all time, or whether he somehow like, I don't know, something good comes out of all the weird stuff he does.
Yeah.
I feel like it's fascinating without him being a particularly interesting. Is he an interesting person? I don't know. But like everything around him is interesting. So I don't know.
I think he's interesting. Absolutely. And like what, you know, who he is, what makes him tick, what he has, the whole like Hyperloop idea is insane. It's awesome to me. Like that kind of stuff is so like we need a transporter. We've needed transporters for a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
especially if everyone who's driven down the 5 knows.
Or like with a pandemic and you have to fly. Or, you know, like I'd rather transport my ass to Chicago at this point than go through O'Hare.
The loop.
But the Hyperloop and all that kind of stuff is, I find that shit fascinating. So.
Right. I just, it's just a question of like, right now he is sort of emblematic of like bad labor practices and all sorts of things like that. So we're just talking about Roger and Me and like how the labor movement for auto workers is like, apparently that's not a thing for Tesla. You know, people have to go back to work apparently. But yeah, it's just like, as these figures of capitalism are like, that's the people you're going to want a documentary about, the way you would want a documentary about like Tammany Hall or something. It's just like, basically, these captains of industry kind of like need to be, they're as powerful as politicians. So how else are we going to like, you know, hold them accountable, like journalism and documentaries?
Well, it'd be interesting at some point to have a 2020 doc on Twitter and Jack and how he had to deal with Trump. You know, that'd make for a very fascinating look.
I thought you just meant an overall 2020 documentary. I'm like, how long would that documentary be?
It would longer feel than this year.
Longer than the year. Yeah, like you could just, let's see, every day something insane has happened and we're halfway through. It's like,
yeah, Murder Wasps don't even really make a
tick. We started with we were like thinking in the car, just like, what's the first, how did this year start? Oh, we killed like the military leader of Iran. Like that's how this year started.
We did that, and apparently there was a really good fucking chicken sandwich at Popeyes that people were like really getting into.
Never,
that's kind of how this shit started. I haven't. When you live in San Francisco or whatever, LA, you really don't.
I used to live by a Popeyes in Oakland, and I do like the honey biscuit. I will say,
I'm not saying I don't fuck with Popeyes.
Yeah,
I will destroy some Popeyes for sure. All right, my friend. Well, there we go. Grizzly Man, Werner Herzog, streaming on Amazon and pretty much, I would imagine, anywhere else.
I give it 4 garbage bags. I forgot. We should have used the garbage bag rating instead of the Herzog.
Maybe we
rating.
Pick something that's in the doc each time. To
one out of like, 1 out of 4 garbage bags.
Like for Roger and Me, it would be rabbits. How many rabbits do you get?
Oh, that's okay. We're gonna have to start like changing our scale.
Yeah,
but
nothing's written in stone.
4 garbage bags is the maximum number of garbage bags. So yeah, I give it 4 out of 4 garbage bags.
Wow. I would also give it 4 out of 4 garbage bags and one right arm.
Oh. So, I don't know why I said what I said and then I groaned up what you said. I'm a hypocrite that way. Yeah.
Let's also point our claps up to Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick,
for helping us out. It's awesome to have you on board. Thank you, George. And we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com.
We've been recapping reality since 2015.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scovel.
For as little as $1 a month, you can donate to this show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
If you want to help us out in other ways, please share the show with friends. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Find out more about Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our website.
SupDoc is by Doc fans for Doc fans. So if you want to advertise with SupDoc, got a film you want to recommend, or any opinions, please hit us up.
Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.